Welcome to Season 4 of the Chai Brave Podcast. This is your invitation to grab a cup of piping hot chai and get ready for chaivizations that nourish the soul and inspire your everyday. This season, we're diving deep into the world of sustainable living. More than ever, we need to find ways to live in harmony with our planet. So throughout the season, I'll be talking to climate tech entrepreneurs, exploring practical tips from experts, and uncovering the joy of living a life that's good for you and good for Mother Earth. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Chai Break Podcast. So far in this season, we've talked to climate tech entrepreneurs who are on a mission to solve the climate crisis. While technology can bring about large-scale impact, what we often forget in the grand scheme of things is simple everyday habits and the awareness of its impact on the environment. My guest today is someone I've known since our college days back in Bangalore. Meet Deepthi Karbanda, Chief Sales Officer at Bare Necessities India. With a postgraduate in human resources and a bachelor's in computer science, Deepthi brings a unique blend of problem-solving attitude with a natural ability to network with people from all walks of life. Prior to her journey at Bare Necessities, Deepthi worked as a business development manager and a senior R&D engineer for almost 2 decades, where she honed her expertise in analytical thinking, client relationship management, cross-functional team management, and technical innovation. Today, her role at Bare Necessities blends her two worlds seamlessly. What started out as small steps towards a zero-waste mission after she became a mother turned into a social impact for the greater good. Complementing her commitment to the environment is her passion for yoga and her outgoing persona that enables her to effortlessly connect with the others. She loves her morning walks and takes pride in being an urban gardener who also composts. And with that, welcome to the Chai Break Podcast, Deepthi.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to have this chaivization with you.
Likewise. I love chai and I love being here. Thank you so much. Thank you.
So to get started, you know, we're talking sustainability and sustainable living. And I think it's apt to start with your why. Like, you know, we said in your bio, it was motherhood. But just talk us through that time when the thought first occurred to you, and were you clear on where to begin?
Absolutely.
Which is usually like the most daunting thing, right? Yeah. For anyone on this journey.
Yeah, I would say my real turning point was one of those sleepless nights while I was like, you know, tending to my son. And I was actually changing one of his diapers. And I had a pet whom I've lost now, but we were very mindful of actually disposing the diapers very carefully because he used to fish them out of the dustbin and go all haywire with it. So while I was doing that, I actually realized that the number of diapers that would actually be discarded on a daily basis, especially when you're looking at a baby within, the first 6 months, you're just paranoid that, you know, they'll get this rash and you're just changing it every few hours, even if it's not required. And that's how it actually started sinking in that, oh my goodness, honestly, I never realized it while I was using a sanitary pad myself.
Right.
And, this was actually quite a daunting realization. And I started, you know, those are the days you're breastfeeding and you're always on the net.
Yes.
And, you know, I think all
of us very aware, have done very familiar.
You know, so we're on these Facebook groups and somebody actually posted about reusable diapers. Mm. And I actually started reading about it. And honestly, I was initially a little skeptical because the minute I voiced it out, everybody said, hey, you will immediately, you know, get diaper rash and you have to be very mindful.
Right.
You will have to sit and clean. Who's got the time for it? So, and I think while I kept, you know, internalizing all that, there was a first switch I decided to do the minute I got my periods after motherhood. I was like, hey, you know what? Now I'm going to try out a menstrual cup, which I've read so much about. And, you know, why subject any other human being to this trial and error first? It should be me. So that's where I initially, the first sustainable step, I would say, for me was actually switching to a menstrual cup, which is actually quite a leap, I would say, given that, you know, we menstruate every month. And I was somebody who struggled with like PCOD. And I was always very watchful of, you know, the products that we would use.
Right.
So switching to a menstrual cup was actually a big step for me. it had a learning curve. And the minute I actually tried it on, I would say that was my turning point. Like, it changed my life. I felt so comfortable. I had never felt so comfortable before. There was no wetness. There was no, there was no waste.
Right.
It was just no waste.
Yeah.
So I bought one cup and it lasted me for the next 3 years until I accidentally dropped it into a pot. So I had to discard that off.
Okay.
And that's the only time I actually switched. But just imagine the magnitude of waste from a simple natural biological process like menstruation that is generated. And honestly, I think most of the times, ladies, especially before, I would say before they are married or before they're sexually active, to rightly put it, they find it very invasive. Mm-hmm. And I can understand that. Even a tampon in India is very unheard of.
Yeah.
It's something that you really don't hear in India because it's again considered invasive.
Yes.
So at least, maybe once they have become sexually active, I highly recommend exploring your body, understanding the basic biology, the basic, anatomy of your body. Exploring a menstrual cup, it was life-altering for me because I was always the kind who would be absolutely crippled with my, dysmenorrhea, the menstrual cramps. And I have actually found the menstrual cup to relieve me from that.
Oh, wow.
So there is actually some studies which show that, the menstrual cup also kind of relieve the uterine cramps, which is a natural part of the menses.
Yeah.
So that's how I started out. I mean, it was, something that was an achievement for me. Mm-hmm. And I, like, successfully converted three people to switching to menses. And I think even three ladies into the number of pads they use their entire lifetime is a big achievement.
Very big impact.
And I can't stop talking about it. Yeah. Even on my Instagram.
Yes.
I post about it. Even if it's like too much information, I'm like, okay, I'm all out for that. Yeah.
No, I followed you and I've seen you, do it. And it's greatly helped. So I can say that.
Yeah. So that's how it started, I would say. And then there was no turning back. I mean, I realized a few things. Like, I started carrying, we would always carry the baby supplies, right? Like, we would carry our bottle, the food from home. So that's how I started into the practice of carrying my own water bottle. And I started carrying my own tiffin. Because it used to always have the food for the baby. And once he became a toddler, I would actually carry a empty tiffin from home because he would always never eat when everybody's eating and he was always later. So I would always pack the leleftovers inside it. And I would, the minute he would sit back inside the car, he's like, now I'm hungry.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, there you go. So those practices became so internalized that now it's like a muscle memory. Before I leave the house, I just check, okay, bottle check, my own bag check, tiffin box check, So this is how it's become something so normalized and internalized into me that I don't think that it takes an extra effort to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, one of the biggest pieces of the puzzle with sustainability is education and awareness, right?
Yeah.
So when you started early on, what were your resources? Or what are some resources that people can, look to?
Absolutely. So I think, internet nowadays is, especially Instagram, has a way of sending things your way the minute you start thinking a certain way. So the minute you are, trying to join a sustainability tribe, the whole
algorithm works
towards you. The universe brings it to you.
Exactly,
it's like that.
Yeah.
And the minute I started following few people I, really admired in the sustainability, journey, and the minute I started learning some basics about, waste segregation also means that you clean up your dry waste and dry it out before you, throw it into a dry waste. Mm-hmm. Something as simple as that. And the reason behind it or the basics of, how a straw can be, simply, removed from your life. It can be actually a stainless steel straw or something in India. I think we all love our coconut water.
Yeah.
And, that's where you find the straws mostly.
Yes.
Especially there, it's not responsibly recycled or almost never recycled.
Yeah.
So things like that, became common knowledge. I think now somebody who says they don't know why a plastic straw is bad, I would say they're living under the rock.
Yeah, yeah.
So I make sure that, at least the people around me are not just aware of it, but they, know enough about it. I can't stop talking enough, even at the you know, cost of their sanity. Yes, or, yes. You know, people yeah. calling me a difficult person because, I mean, I am totally a no-no for, you know, getting a plastic bag or even getting an extra cloth bag because we have like 100 of them sitting at our home.
Yes.
So things like that, I tell people repeatedly, you know, our phone is actually more heavier than a cloth bag. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You can always keep a cloth bag mm-hmm. inside your bag. It can be in your car. It can be in your regular handbag, your office bag. It should be everywhere so that you never bring another bag home.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not simple, but it's a thing of habit.
Yes.
It's a thing of lifestyle. In India, and I think even abroad, there are countries where the apps for bringing everything to you immediately, instantly is, yes. you know, rampant.
Yes.
And it's very hard to actually do away with the bags mm-hmm, there. Mm-hmm. So these are actually lifestyle choices.
Very
and
much.
I don't shame anybody for, you know, actually choosing to do so. But I think these are things that you have to choose yourself.
Right.
And you work on it on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Until they become a habit.
One interesting thing, you were talking about straws, right? It actually took me way back. Do you remember when we were little, we had those steel tumblers with the steel straw like
cups,
attached
yeah,
to it?
Cups, yeah.
So actually, this was like a couple of years ago, the last time when I came, Dia was struggling with drinking water, right? She just had this aversion. She never wanted to drink water. And my dad ended up was like, hey, remember those little, you know, steel tumblers? And he went and got like four of those. And trust me, she's 9 and she still loves drinking out of those cups. So, you know, the thing is that we kind of went backwards, right? We had all of these resources, sustainability built into our culture long before it was a fad.
Yeah.
You know, we recycled, we reused, we did hand-me-downs, we did the whole shebang. And then it was just like in the name of convenience and, you know, Western influence or whatever you can call it, we kind of went digressed.
That's the key word, actually. I think the whole, you know, fiasco started with convenience.
Convenience,
you know,
yeah.
I'm a busy person.
Yeah.
I don't have time to actually go and shop my vegetables. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get home. I'm going to order food in.
Yeah.
Understandable. Fair enough, you know. You can always choose to order from places which actually have sustainable tiffin system. These are lifestyle choices. Exactly. You know, you can't hold anybody down for choosing to go a certain way. But yet again, you know, you're ordering food in, it's going to come in a plastic takeaway.
Yeah.
You can always choose to pick food up like, you know, how it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, when we were kids, getting food from a restaurant meant like going there and fetching it in your own
house.
Uh-huh. So, you know, plastic changed it all. And this is something, you know, that we talk a lot about even where I work at BNSS. We tell people about how it all started.
Yeah.
We talk about, you know, why plastic was even introduced into our, you know, entire production, entire industry. And why exactly is there a need to move away from single-use plastic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Plastic is something we can't do without now. The way things are, you know, even look at medical science. We can't do away with plastic.
Yeah.
It's integral into the products. It's required for the sanitary purposes. But single-use plastic, where, you know, especially for consumerism, is something that we're talking about, which is in our hands, and we should make a conscious effort to move away from it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was just reading that, you know, we all know, right? Single-use plastic, like one single plastic bottle takes 450 years to decompose.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, right, the number one thing that the couple of small changes I tried to make was pack a water bottle.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because I feel like even in homes, actually, in the US, like people actually buy water bottles in cases, plastic water bottles in cases. And this, I don't think I've seen as much in the city, but like in the suburbs, I've seen people do it all the time.
Yeah.
So when you go to their house and you're leaving, they just hand you a plastic water bottle. Like, I now think back on all of that. And you know, the thing is, it might seem like a small step, but I call it like a small, big step that we can take in our own lives, right?
It is.
But the other thing is that And this is something that never occurred to me for a very long time. Okay. You know, we're conditioned to think about, when you think about single-use plastic as, right, you know, number one thing is water bottles.
Yeah.
But then what about all the plastic containers, our detergents, our shampoos, our, right, cleansers, yeah, and the works? They all come in, right?
Absolutely.
Now, cut to what Bare Necessities has to offer. Obviously, you know, their ingredients are clean and all of that, but it's also the packaging. So
it
talk
is,
to
yeah.
us about how the company is trying to make a difference here.
Correct. So, in fact, my journey with Bare Necessities started as a consumer. You know, mm-hmm. I was in my sustainability explorations and I was always looking for easier options so that I'm not overwhelmed, because that's what something, you know, that's what happens. You know, we're in times of climate anxiety. And if you today watch a video of, you know, the textile pollution, the plastic pollution, the way our oceans are being impacted, it's honestly, it's unavoidable to be overwhelmed with it. You know, and it has given us sleepless nights. Sometimes, you know, it's just unavoidable to think of all the climate changes that are happening around us, because they're actually in front of us. Mm-hmm. That's how I actually, you know, myself tried to understand the amount of plastic that is generated. I mean, just think about the number of shampoo bottles you have used in your lifetime,
mm-hmm.
you know, the amount of conditioner that we have used, or even the simple, you know, regular soap or a hand wash that we bring home. These are all requirements for hygiene purposes. Mm-hmm. We can't do without it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was to tell you that, hey, let's start making our own, you know, hand wash at home, bioenzymes at home, that's the ideal way, but it's not always feasible.
Yeah.
You know, people do it. And those who are, you know, in their absolute epitome of like their sustainability journey are choosing to do so.
Yeah.
And I like hats off to them for actually choosing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also people like you and me who are like juggling work,
yes,
kids, you know, home, and trying to cook and do all the things good for ourselves while being mindful of the planet too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, Bare Necessities has basically plugged that gap for us.
Mm.
So they are trying to create products which are absolutely innovative in nature in terms of their format.
Mm.
We are trying to help people find a very accessible personal care and lifestyle solution in terms of products. So everything that you need, basically from your head to toe, morning to night, starting from your hair to your skincare to your dental care, your body care, everything is going to be found with Bare Necessities in a sustainable and a clean format, you know, where we have a clean label, we are transparent about what we're putting into it. And these come in innovative formats. When I say we have basically our shampoos are like a shampoo bar.
Mm-hmm.
So all you do is you know, wet your hair and you run the shampoo bar inside, you know, on your hair, and you have lather.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it basically, what it does is it does away with the need of liquid, you know. So we don't have liquid format, so you don't need plastic anymore. Then
yeah.
you can just wrap it up in a paper. An absolutely biodegradable sachet.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we have a range of products which are you know, award-winning category for the fact that their packaging is also made absolutely biodegradable, that it can go into a wet waste or a compost. So we can just use those products. These are the hand wash, dishwash, activated powders. Mm-hmm. You use that to create your regular hand wash by diluting it with regular tap water.
Mm-hmm.
And you take the packaging, tear it up and put it into your compost, and it's gone.
Wow.
So these are actually awesome. Zero waste footprint products that, you know, have been created with a lot of love and a lot of thought to, you know, give a functionality which is equally competent to the products found in the market, while doing away with the need of these huge plastic bottles and containers,
right,
which are actually wasting a lot of, you know, carbon footprint,
mm-hmm,
by being shipped across the country to all different locations. These are like 15-gram sachets that we are selling,
mm-hmm,
by doing away with all the unnecessary liquids,
yeah,
in that.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are kind of formats that we are actually trying to create a category awareness about,
mm-hmm,
because it's all about habit, you know.
Yeah.
So people, since we were born, we are used to using Colgate.
So
today, yes, somebody even says like, hey, Pepsodent is amazing. The whole world is like using it.
Yeah.
It's going to take me some time and convincing to even switch.
Yeah.
So these personal care, again, is like, you know, very personal in nature. So creating that awareness of, you know, firstly, these products are amazing for you. You know, they have been made with absolute care with the ingredients, and we have ensured that, you know, the supply chain is clean. We are also,
mm-hmm,
practicing fair trade.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, being a B Corp certified company, which is actually a golden standard for sustainability,
mm-hmm,
is not something that easily comes by. You know,
yeah,
it is basically shows our commitment to the planet, people, and profit.
Mm-hmm.
So balancing them all out is a product, you know, that we are creating. So when we create something like this, naturally, you are going to need a lot of category awareness, like I said,
yes,
which is where we engage with a lot of people,
yes,
the corporates, you know, and find different avenues of interacting mm-hmm. with people mm-hmm. and helping them understand why is this good for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that was my next question to actually talk about, you know, that again, like going back to like awareness and education,
okay.
I've, you know, followed you and what the company does on LinkedIn. And I, you know, keep seeing the updates like workshops at IKEA and various okay. other things. And, you know, even on your website, I yes. was seeing you have some, you have like zero waste starter kits.
Yes.
So talk us through that. You know, I feel like that is such a key component when it comes to sustainability.
Yeah, it is. It is. So what happens is, you know, so being a sustainable brand that's dealing with personal care and lifestyle products, naturally, you know, when a lot of corporates who actually buy these products from us for corporate gifting, you know, that's an in thing. And now, you know, we see people are actually genuinely wanting to move away from wasteful gifting towards mindful gifting. And that's exactly the space that we are working in. So, you know, helping people move away from those same old mugs and bottles and jackets
and pens.
Like,
and-
So we want to basically give them something functional, something that you can actually use and actually start switching to make a difference in your mm-hmm. Individual space on a bigger space. And you can actually talk about it too. So, you know, telling people and corporates is easy that, hey, here is something absolutely impactful when you want to leave, when you want to actually give out something meaningful to your entire employees base.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where, you know, our corporate gifting space has been you know, soaring, and people have been actually coming in and investing their time and bandwidth in understanding this because, you know, especially corporates definitely have SDG goals that they're trying yes. to align with, you know, the
yeah. Yeah.
UN goals that they want to, you know, maybe even if it's for their checklist, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
So they, whether they want to, you know, do it as part of their sustainability goals or eventually when these corporates actually started buying and gifting it out to their employees, they wanted to actually create a grassroots level awareness as well.
Yeah.
And that's where our L&D vertical has branched out from mm-hmm. BNSS, where we actively engage with these employees or stakeholders. And these are all actually, you know, bespoke programs that we create.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all sustainability themed. So, for example, you know, tomorrow your community wants to do something good for the planet, but doesn't know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
So we take it from there, you know, so we tell them that, you know, here are the things we can actually do for you. We can create a conversation around this and we make it fun. It's not like a classroom
mm-hmm.
presentation mm-hmm. format. We do, you know, DIYs, we strike conversations and we actually give out actionable knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here are the things, here are the tools, here are the agencies you can actually work with. And if you are looking to segregate your waste, or you want to donate your additional clothes from your cupboard, things like that.
Wow.
We can get out, you know, those resources which
yes.
people may think about, but they never find. So we create these custom made programs and, you know, engagement sessions. And we actually conduct all these. And we have been doing that all across India for over 5,000 organizations.
Wow.
Sorry, 500 organizations so far. But yeah, I mean, we have online courses too, which are, you know, educational in nature. And these are actually appropriate, not just for corporates, but also for schools.
Mm.
Because it's now becoming pretty prominent that, you know, by 2030, all jobs are going to require you to have some kind of green skilling. And that's a gap that is there right now in our education system.
Mm-hmm.
So these kind of complementary courses are actually ideal to fill that gap in and give them a perfect launch pad to have the common knowledge as well as some amount of advanced knowledge in sustainability space.
Right.
So, you know, talk about tech, talk about, you know, textile, talk about retail. All of these spaces have so much that can be made sustainable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you need the young blood to be actually thinking in that direction, they need to be aware of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be aware of what is possible to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And those kind of, you know, curated courses can be, or engagements can be carried out by our team.
Mm-hmm. That's fabulous. And it's the need of the hour, right? The more people get, and I think it's not become a matter of like, oh, I don't know, or I'm overwhelmed. I think companies like, you know, yours, which has products and which takes on L&D, I feel like it's about bringing the masses in and actually telling them, hey, you need it. And here are the benefits, right?
Yeah. Right. A lot of times, I mean, they have a directive. You know, most of the times the HR of the company is going to have a directive that, hey, you need to do something for sustainability. Mm-hmm. And that's where our team usually plugs in and says that, hey, you need this, this, and this, and we will give you a year-long program which is going to help you achieve, you know, all these outcomes, or you could actually do these few sessions. So that's the kind of, you know, fine-tuning we do it. And that's why I say it's like completely bespoke and open to all kinds of formats.
Yeah.
And we've been working with such absolutely varying set of, genres of industries here. Mm-hmm. We've like worked with IKEA or Target, who are like retail space. We have worked with like JP Morgan. We have worked with, you know, like banking space. We are also working with places like Flipkart, which is like online commerce. Mm-hmm. We've worked with absolutely, IT tech kind of people who might be more interested in circularity in tech.
Yeah.
You know, so understanding how you can reuse things, how you can start thinking green, you know. Yeah. So maybe you may not be able to tell them their exact specifications, but the minute they are actually infused with that idea of circularity, mm-hmm. they mm-hmm. start thinking green in their own workspace mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. So that's the intent of all these conversations that we have. And we have seen a lot of, you know, outcome, good success.
Yeah.
And these are, again, fine-tuned to whoever's requirement. And it mm-hmm. doesn't have to be a corporate. It could be a community. It could be a residential community. Mm-hmm. It could be a college wanting to do good. We are right now in conversation with a university who wants to introduce a course or a sustainability themed club who would like to, you know, mm-hmm. kickstart their activities by somebody like us who has been doing this for so long.
Right.
Yeah. That vertical is pretty interesting. And, we are always on the lookout for having these engagements and sessions. And I'm always talking about it.
Yes, that's fabulous. Speaking of, you know, you in your role, you, like you said, right, you meet folks from all walks of life. What are some of the common misconceptions you've heard when it comes to sustainability?
Oh, so many.
Maybe list your top five.
Yeah, so I think I would say the first thing being, that sustainability is expensive. Mm. You know, everybody thinks that, you know, being sustainable, it's something like saying, you know, being healthy is expensive nowadays.
Yeah.
That's the belief that if you are going on a diet, I need to be eating these top-notch salads. No. Yeah. So similarly, you know, the sustainability journey can be as simple as just taking your own bag. Why do you need to spend that additional money on buying another bag? Why do you need to buy the water outside? You know, or if you really want to switch to products which are sustainable, there is a number of products if you were to just do the research, the kind of research we do for choosing our clothes online, if you were to spend a few minutes. So sustainability genre right now in the market, you know, the whole category of sustainable products, all they need is the demand to actually rise.
Right.
For them to bring down their entire cost. You know, it's all about the scalability in the demand mm-hmm. for them to actually become more affordable. Mm-hmm. And there are products. I mean, it's just that those shampoos won't be endorsed by celebrities. They won't be coming in those fancy packages.
Exactly.
So you don't want to believe those, you know?
Yeah.
So these are the products that can be easily helping you switch to sustainability. But you just need to, you know, go out there and do your research mm-hmm. and, make it a little inconvenient for yourself.
Yeah.
So this being the first biggest myth. And I think a lot of times I feel there is a lot of greenwashing. Mm-hmm. So many times there are brands who call themselves sustainable. There are so many out there right now, but I can with pride say that when I actually invested a lot of time and bandwidth in bare necessities, we actually walked the talk, which is what actually maybe, you know, cuts down our margins in a lot of places. People call themselves sustainable. You know, they say, hey, I'm a green label brand, but their courier will come packaged in absolute plastic.
Yeah.
You know, what do you do with that as a consumer? That's again, waste you're generating.
Yeah.
So here we are like, you know, going the extra mile, trying to pack it with the paper tapes, absolutely zero tape policy. you know, having the corrugated sheets around each of the products.
Yeah.
All these are actually manually intensive work. Like, again, I said, you know, making it a little inconvenient.
Yeah.
At some point in our supply chain, it's a little inconvenient. And that's why it's sustainable. It's good for the planet. You know, we're making that effort.
Yeah.
If you look back, all of our, you know, grandparents' practices to sustain things, you know, you get a whole load of crops, you know, from the farm. What do you do? Or say, forget that, you know, if somebody gifted you a whole crate of mangoes, what do you think your grandparents would have done? You know, just take a wild guess.
Then distribute it amongst everyone.
Or, you know, a lot of times when we really like hold it precious, we would put, you know, pickles with that.
Yes.
We would make mango puree and store it. We would immediately like make mango custard and pudding and things like that. So that's actually making full use of the resources that you have. Similarly, like say I have this, you know, a lip balm here, which is from Bare Necessities. And the minute I'm done with this jar, we have options of actually either reusing it, you can return it. Okay, so they have a return the jar program. So close the loop. You know, look for brands which are actually helping you cut down on the waste, either with their packaging or with their, you know, take back policies. Or with their loyalty program where they say, hey, just bring your old jar back and refill the product and take it. You know, it could be as simple as that. So these things, I think, you know, when you try and internalize that, what is the end of life of this product that I'm going to buy? Either if it's clothes, you can always think that, okay, this is a good quality one. You know, maybe I could later thrift it for something else. You know, that's again, something people don't know about. Or, you know, in India, there's a belief that the clothes carry the energy of the person who wore
it. I saw this recently somewhere and it was like mind-boggling. I think it was some blogger, like a sustainable person, say that, you know, that somebody was like, the energy of this is bad. And this is like, what?
They actually believe that. And the thing is, when it comes down generations, it's very hard to break these myths.
Yes, very hard.
So you think that, okay, you can actually get the products from, you know, get the clothes from your sisters or mothers, but some unknown stranger, you don't know the vibe it's carrying. So, you know, but the same clothes, if you were to travel abroad and you see these beautiful thrift stores, we don't think twice before buying.
No, and also in these fast fashion or wherever you're buying it from, it comes beautifully packaged all in this plastic and what have you. But like, do you know the practices in the factory, the chemicals on it? Like nobody thinks about that. Very true. Very
and
true.
I have realized this through these many workshops that I've actually conducted that say today I was to tell, hey, you know, the amount of plastic is 25% more now or 30% more. People are still like, you know, okay, I mean, I get it, there's plastic everywhere. What makes a difference is giving them the magnitude of the issue. The minute we tell them a fact, like, you know, do you realize that you are actually consuming a credit card size of plastic every week through the things that you're consuming? You know, it's in the air, it's in the water, these are microplastics.
Yes, and now it's getting through the blood-brain barrier, you know, research finds.
So that's where they are like, hey, you know, I mean, humans are anyway always known to put themselves first. They put things in perspective. They understand that, oh my goodness, am I, like, I mean, something as simple as like the steam inhaler that we have, it's all made of plastic now. We have no other way, you know, during the COVID days. We all have, you know, done the steam inhalation every single day. And those inhalers are like made to, you know, like last for maybe 2 months and they are gone. So all these products are, you know, electronics, unless we are responsibly recycling them, which almost never happens, you know, till then they don't find a right resolution. And even with recycling, you if you want to recycle something with a good intent, the least recyclable is something that we find every day, which is a chips packet. So the multi-layered plastic, you know, that's the the absolute bane of, you know, the plastic formats. The multi-layered plastic, something as simple as a chips packet, is something that can never be possibly recycled. And we see it everywhere. Even the kids love it. And, you know, there's no way to do without it. There are organizations who are trying to, you know, make bags out of this, repurpose it, basically. You know, perhaps the only way to use it into consumerism again and give them a purpose instead of being in landfills. So these things are, you know, something that we actually need to think about. And in place in India, where especially in Bangalore, you have like the hot chips, you know.
When you said chips, that's the only thing that came to mind. It's like hot chips.
So you can, all you need to do is, again, make it a little inconvenient for yourself and carry this big box, you know, where you can fill up your own chips.
Yeah.
So your pantry can be just one weekend of 1 hour you know, outing. You fill up all your goodies in your own jars, which you're anyway going to fill up and bring them back home.
Yeah.
So these are the simple things where, you know, people say, hey, I don't think I can go, you know, plastic free for my groceries. That's not true. You always can choose to do so. It's just a little inconvenient. That's it.
It's by choice and habit at the end of the day, right? It most is. Sustainable things. Yeah.
It
is. This is such great tips and things for, you know, our listeners to like, and for me to just reflect on and rethink our habits, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So before we wrap up, I want to play a quick round of spill the tea. Mm-hmm. How does Deepi like her chai?
Without milk and without sugar.
What? Okay.
Yeah.
That's the first. Okay. Do you like your chai with a snack? Or what do you like to pair it with?
No, just black.
Just black, plain. Okay.
So I had to actually switch. I have been on a vegan journey. Unfolding. And in that, milk was the first one to go out of the window because I never liked it anyway.
Okay. Now, is there a book or a person in your life that's influenced you the most?
In sustainability?
In general, in life.
In general, I think I was always, you know, my element of compassion, I think, comes from my father. And he's been the most influential person in my life, I would say.
Okay.
And I think when I speak a lot of things, I think the inner voice is always his.
Yeah.
So that would be him.
That's awesome. And what does Deepti do when she's not working?
Oh my God, I'm always working. I always keep finding work for myself. So I love to read. I love to, you know... just garden around. I tend to this tiny little urban garden that I have. I have my own compost going. So if there's nothing, there's always the kitchen where I love to, you know, make my own stuff. So there's always something or the other. I never sit down. That's it.
That is awesome. So that's it for our episode today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And for everybody, do check out barenecessities.in to learn more about everything they offer.
Thank you.
And that's it for today. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for season 4 of the Chai Break podcast. We hope you leave here feeling inspired. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram at chai_break_podcast. Want even more sustainable goodness? Sign up for our monthly newsletter at chaibreakpodcast.substack.com, packed with exclusive content, new episode drops, and more. And don't forget to like, share, and leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Your support means the world to us.